Psalm chapter 8, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he begins the psalm with just this statement, that is true. And he says he's just struck by this conclusion that he has come to. And so he begins, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." He says, God, he says, your greatness, and it's obviously you because you have stamped your fingerprint everywhere that I look. And he said, your majesty, your greatness is in all the earth. You can't go anywhere. You can't go to the mountains. You can't go to the ocean. You can't go to South America. You can't go to Asia. You can't go to Haiti without seeing the majesty of the Lord, that God has stamped everything that he has done. And we are struck by the fact that God is great. Watch what he says. He is going to give us some indications of some of the things that he has seen that lead him to the conclusion that God is great. Look at what he describes. He says in verse 2, he says, "From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength." Now, here's what he's saying there. David is out in a field and a pasture, and he's watching his sheep. And it's kind of a peculiar, a funny thing for him to say that from the mouth of babes and nursing babes that God establishes strength. When you look at a baby, I think this is maybe even something that David may have been looking at. You look at a lamb, a baby lamb. You don't think strength, do you? No, of course not. Babies and young animals, baby animals, young of any kind, they are the weakest members of all of creation, aren't they? Baby people, baby lambs, can they support themselves? Can they provide for themselves? Can they protect themselves? Absolutely not. So here's the question that David is responding to. How does the weakest members of creation, I've asked this question to myself sometimes. How do any of us survive until adulthood? I don't know the answer to that question, to be honest with you. I don't know how I made it, to be honest. I don't know how any of us survive until adulthood. And you look at, when you talk about animals, you talk about baby animals. How in the world do they survive? But here's what David is seeing. David says, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, he says, you have established strength. Do you know that within God's creation, that even within a fallen world where you have things like predators, that even within a fallen world, that God, as part of creation, God has designed creation to be able, within the system that he created, to provide for babies. Now, how does that happen? You don't have to go far down the road here to see calves. Do you know what calves do? Where do they get nourishment? Their mother produces it for them. What? They're down here on 221. There's a guy that's got a sign next to the sheds. You know what his sign says right now? Cows turn grass into cheeseburgers and milkshakes. That's what it says. Forget the cheeseburger part for just a second. But wait a minute. God, this cow eats grass, and then the cow's body is designed in such a way that it can take the nourishment from that grass and then turn it into milk that provides just the right kind of nourishment for a baby calf. Human mothers do the same thing. What? God, you have designed your creation to be able to provide for even the weakest members that are in it. And watch this. He says that You, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you've established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Here's what he's saying. You know what? We live in a fallen world. What's part of that fallen world? What happened when Adam sinned and God cursed the earth? You know what entered for the first time? Death. And so we live in this fallen world, and you know what's going on in this fallen world? Evolutionists would say it's the circle of life. It's not. It's called the circle of death. What has to happen? Something has to die. An antelope dies on the prairie, and it fertilizes the grass. The buffalo eats the grass, and then what happens? The mountain lion eats the buffalo. That's a circle of death. That's not a beautiful thing. That's a result of sin. But even within the circle of death, even within a system, a fallen system, where the survival of the fittest is true, even within that kind of fallen system, where death wants to take over and rule, wants to stop what God has done, do you know what God did? God put within his design a process as part of creation to provide perfectly for even the weakest members of creation, the babies. You go down the street and you watch a baby cow nursing at its mother. And you think, man, God, that was a perfect design. That's ingenious. You did that. That's incredible. He doesn't stop there. Verse 3. He says, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Here's what he's saying. He looks up at the sky. It's nighttime now and he can't see the animals. And he looks up at the sky. And you know what he's saying? He's not just describing how beautiful the nighttime sky is, although it is. The nighttime sky is incredibly beautiful. And if you were to get away, you get away from all the lights where in darkness, you can see the Milky Way across the sky. You can see this bright white streak across the sky. It's the edge of our galaxy that's stretching out into space. You can see the planets. You get away from the lights, you can even see the tint of red on Mars when it's visible above the horizon. You can see the moon, and you can see within the moon, you can see the shadows of the mountains on the moon. You know, that we call it the man on the moon. It's actually made by shadows of mountains. And you look up, and it is beautiful, but you know what? It's more than just beautiful. Do you know? God so designed the moon and the stars, do you know that they are on a cycle? And that cycle that they're on, it perfectly coincides with our seasons, such that you can tell when the seasons are changing by the placement of the stars and the cycle of the moon. God, what? God, you're kidding me. You mean, it's beautiful, but you mean, God, you actually made the sun and the stars and the moon functional for us? That's ingenious. I can't even believe that God did that. But he did. Everywhere you look, you see this amazing aspect of creation that reveals the majesty of our Creator. God did these things. And you know what? If it were me, and I'll be honest with you, if it were a lot of us, man, I am much more attracted to the moon and the stars and their beauty and the perfectness of their design. I'm much more naturally attracted to even the perfectness of nature and the design that the Lord has put into the created things. Even when you look at the baby animals, you know what? We are much more attracted to those things than we are to other people. And that's why David says, God, with all of this that you have made, and the just incredible beauty and the genius of your design. What is man that you take thought of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? God, out of all of your creation, why in the world do you care about people? And the way that David words this, the way that he words his question in a contrast to all that he sees, listen, what he is communicating is that man, he doesn't understand why God cares anything about man. Like, I know why, God, you are glorified by the stars. God, I know why you are glorified in the design of nature. God, I can see it. But you know what? Man is ornery and wicked. My neighbor's loud. I don't like him. And that guy I work with, man, his breath stinks, God. You see what I'm saying? People do stupid things and evil things and wicked things. You watched the news recently? God, what in the world? God, with all of that you have created that is so awesome, why in the world do you care about people? That's a legitimate question. You know, most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, that's a really good question. Most of us are more patient with our pets than we are with our children. It's true, isn't it? Most of us are more compassionate toward baby animals than we are toward other people. For this reason. For this reason right here. God, why do you even care? His answer is super important. Verse 5. Yet you have made him a little lower than God. You crown him with glory and majesty. Now let me just, right off the surface, the answer for why God cares about mankind at all, the reason that God takes a thought about mankind at all, is because of the way that God created us. That there is something about the way that God created people as opposed to the rest of creation. That's why God cares about men. That's why God loves mankind. Let me point out what it is not. The reason that God cares for men is not because this verse says absolutely nothing about God caring for people because they always obey him, or because a few of them are more smart than others, or because a few of them are better athletes than others. God cares for the athletes. Or because they perform well, or because they do things the way that he wants them to do. It has absolutely, God's care for mankind has absolutely nothing to do with ability. Absolutely nothing to do with ability. God's care for mankind is because of the way that God created mankind. So let's take a look for just a minute. And we're moving through this, so y'all hang on with me. But let's take a look at how this description, how God's creation of mankind is described. He says, you have made him a little lower than God. Now, if you have the King James and the New King James, it says there you've made him a little lower than the angels. The word there is Elohim. Now, you guys have heard that word before. That's not a strange Hebrew word to you. You guys have heard the word Elohim before. It's a Hebrew word, and that word is plural. That word, it's not singular. That word is plural. And because it's plural, that's why a lot of the translations translated angels, because they could use a plural word there. But this is the same word from Genesis chapter 1. You know what God says in Genesis chapter 1? God says in Genesis chapter 1, let us, plural, let us make man in our own image. Elohim. Who's the us? It's Old Testament revelation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God says, let us make man in our own image. Same thing here. Elohim. God, you have made man a little lower than Elohim. Here's what that means. That God has made man differently than all the rest of creation. God made man in, and this will blow your mind, in God's own image. That in a limited way, God created us like himself. In the Garden of Eden. It was not the bunny rabbits that God came and walked in the garden in the cool of the morning and talked with. Right? As cute as they are. It was not the koala bears that God came and in the cool of the morning walked through the garden and talked with the koala bears. It was Adam. God did not have the ability to come and walk through the garden and talk with any of the rest of his creation. Only Adam could do that. Only Adam and Eve had the ability to relate to the Lord. Only Adam and Eve had the ability to communicate with and be in fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because God had made them enough like him that we as people, we can relate to the Lord. That we're made just a little lower. We have nowhere near the same abilities or the same power as God. We do not have the same authority as God. But we have personality and we have creativity and we have the ability to relate to our Creator. Different than any of the rest of creation. And God made that. God made us like that. And then watch this. Not only did he create us like himself, different than all the other creation, but watch this. Second half of verse 5. You crown him with glory and majesty. God made all of creation. And then he made man and he made woman. And he crowned man and woman with glory and majesty. Do you know what that means? That means that we as people, men and women and boys and girls, mankind, that means that we are God's most majestic creation. Now you think about that. We are God's most majestic creation. Out of everything that you see, and you can watch the Nature Channel, and you can watch NASA, and you can see all the stuff that the Hubble telescope sees, and then you can go to all the national parks and all of the greatness that you see, but they are not God's most majestic creation. God's most majestic creation is sitting right next to you in the pew. We are God's most majestic creation, and it says that you crown him with glory and majesty. Now listen. Mankind, what that means is that we are God's crowning creative achievement. That out of all that God created, we are the best. Why? Because God created us the best. We are God's crowning achievement. His creative achievement, anyway. The reason that God cares about people has nothing to do with their performance or their ability. The reason that God cares about people is because he has made us more majestic than any other creation. Now that has some pretty serious implications, and I want to offer you a challenge. The next time that you get into a major disagreement with your neighbor, and I mean he throws this crazy party at 2 in the morning, and you're just completely frustrated with him, Or the next time that, man, your cubicle mate drives you bananas because she's chewing her gum and smacking her lips at the same time. The next time that you are tempted to just let somebody have it, I mean, just tell them how stupid you think they are. The next time you get ready to do that, I want you to stop and I want you to look at them and I want you to think in your mind, that person is the most majestic creation that God ever made. That guy right there, God's crowning creative achievement. It's true. So then what we see is not because of ability, but because of the way that God created them, that man is valuable, and the life of people, above all the rest of creation, the life of people, we say it's sacred. It's valuable, not based on ability, not based on capability, not based on intellect, not based on performance, but simply because of the way that God created them. And that gives them, they deserve not just our love, but you know what it also means? It means that they deserve our respect. Now, let me clarify that. The laziest drunken bum in downtown Lynchburg. The laziest drunken bum that you can think of, downtown Lynchburg. Now, you have to call sin, sin, and sin destroys. And we need to point out some destructive things that are ruling his life. But he does not deserve to be talked down to. He does not deserve to be treated like an animal. He's not an animal. He's a man. And he is, while he may be ornery as the day is long, and you might be tempted to call him an idiot, and you might be right, but he is God's crowning creative achievement. Prisoners in jail. Now listen, if they've done wrong, they need to be behind bars. Absolutely need to be behind bars, because our government has a responsibility for justice. But even criminals in jail do not deserve to be treated like animals by those who guard them. They're not animals. They're people. They're made a little lower than God. God has crowned them with glory and majesty. Do they deserve to reap the consequences of their actions? Absolutely. But they're people. They're not animals. A baby who tests reveal even before they are born. This baby has some disabilities, some abnormalities. Does that mean that their life is not valuable? Well, they wouldn't fit into our family. You know what? The value of their life has absolutely nothing to do with their abilities or disabilities or normalcy. But it has to do with the way that God created them. God made them. I heard a story of a little girl in elementary school. And she had a birthmark on one side of her face. Could not miss it. And you know how kids are. One little boy in her class, he said, "Why does your face look like that?" And her response, and obviously she had received lots of love and lots of coaching from her parents who had helped her to understand. You know what her reply was? It's a true story, by the way. Her reply was, "God made me like this. I'm supposed to be like this." Fact. That's a fact. Why? Because God made her just a little bit lower than God himself in his image. And God crowned her life with glory and majesty. Absolutely. Let's keep reading. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. By the way, if God has made people to rule over all of creation, who comes first? Care for people or care for animals? You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. God, we can look at the heavens. We can look at the design of nature, and God, we see your fingerprint and your majesty all over it, but God, there's one place where you have crowned in particular your creation with glory and majesty, and that is in the life of mankind. We see it there. Now, let me take just a minute, and let's go beyond this psalm. God has given us, he has created us in his image. But something happened. Romans 3:23 says this: all have sinned and fallen short of what? God's glory. God created us. God created us like himself. But what does sin do? Sin robs us of the complete picture of God that he created us to be. Sin scars God's glory in our life. What's the fix for that? The fix is that God sent his son Jesus to die in our place on a cross, to be placed in a tomb, to rise from the dead, so that he might take our sinful life and it will be buried with him, and we can rise from the dead with him in a new life. That he takes our sin and he gives us a new life. The old is gone, the new has come. He makes all things new. And so he takes our sinful life and he puts within our heart a new heart. And he puts his Holy Spirit that can guide us and empower us and make us more and more and more like himself. So that now, not just in our creation, but also in our character, we can become more like him. In just a second, we're going to see a physical picture of that. Baptism is meant to be a picture, a physical picture of what's already happened on the inside. That the second that Colt and Nick trusted Christ as their Savior, the very second that Jesus saved him, the old Colt and Nick gone, buried with Christ. And now what you're looking at now is the new Colt and Nick, raised to walk in newness of life. And they will remember this day for the rest of their lives. They will remember. I'm not the old Colt. I'm not the old Nick. I'm not the old Chad Brady, because I remember, man, I'm not the same. I'm new. This is the new life that God has given me. That's what he does. Not that this picture saves us. It's the work he's already done. But it's just a picture to help us understand what he does. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You've made man a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Father, God, we praise you for your love for us. Lord, we don't even understand it. God, I don't understand it, but I know it's true. And we praise you that you do love us. God, we praise you for the way that you created us. We praise you for the way, Lord, the ability that you've given us to relate to you and for you to be glorified in our lives, unlike every other part of creation. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to view other people the way that you view them. I pray that you would help us to value all mankind the way that you do. And God, we thank you for loving us enough to send your son Jesus. Lord, we need him. We need him to be our Savior. We need him to mold us and shape us and transform us. God, we praise you that you offer to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And it may be that you're here this morning and listen,